Let us pray. Dear God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to your people. In your name, I pray. Amen. So when I was in high school, my older brother recently moved into his own apartment. And it was a big deal because at that point, I'd never known anyone who didn't live in a college dorm or with their parents. So he was the first person I knew who lived on their own. And so as he was starting out, as he was trying to get that first apartment, he was hunting down furniture and other things. And this was still, believe it or not, I am not that young. I remember a time when the internet was not in my hand all the time. So we couldn't just look up who's selling some random piece of furniture everywhere. And so he was working with a coworker who said, hey, I've got this couch that I need to get rid of. I'll sell it to you really cheap. And so naturally, as it often is, was told very last minute that he could go pick up this couch. Now, my brother had a tiny car. And, well, my parents, our parents, we have the same parents. owned a minivan. He had asked to use it, but as you might find out when you become an adult, you lose all these wonderful things like insurance. And so he was not insured to drive my parents' van. So naturally, because my parents were unavailable, it fell to the recently licensed 16-year-old to drive the minivan. Now, like I said, this was before smartphones and GPS. We didn't have a GPS in the car, and we didn't have a printer to print out from Google Maps. And so we were following directions that were texted to my brother on one of those tiny little flip phones on how to get to this place to pick up this couch. I'm sure you can guess where the story is going. We got lost. We had no idea where we were. We had no idea how to get back home, let alone get to this coworker's home to get this couch. We were lost. It was dark. The roads were unfamiliar. The tensions were high. My brother did not get his couch. The psalmist, as they write this, is in a similar situation of being lost in a different way. The psalmist starts the psalm with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Elohav, Elohav, is what the psalmist says. The psalmist is lost. We're told in later verses that their life seems like a constant struggle. In verse 7, it says, all who see me mock me. They make mouths at me and shake their heads. In verse 16, the psalmist tells us that they are encircled by evildoers. Their hands and feet are shriveled, and their enemies divide their clothing amongst themselves. They cast lots for their clothing. The psalmist is hurting. They are calling out to God in pain. They are at a loss, not in a way of not knowing where to go or being lost because you can't follow directions, but they are lost in their suffering. They cannot see the road ahead because all they can see is their suffering right in front of them. Have you been there? Has life ever just kicked you down so hard you have no idea which way is up? Have you ever felt like you try and try to be a good person, but still feel like it's not enough and the world keeps pushing you down? Have you ever felt like shouting to the sky, my God, why have you forsaken me? I know I have. My freshman year of college was not a good time. It was not easy. I didn't really have to study in high school because I could just get by on my own intelligence. High schoolers, that doesn't work in college. I couldn't keep my grades up. I was managing my finances by myself for the first time, and it was a hard struggle. I wasn't hanging around with the best people. And see, that's the thing about suffering sometimes. Sometimes suffering is a big event, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a home. But suffering is also sometimes small. It's not one big grand event that sends you into suffering, but it could be tiny things over and over again. So much that your life feels like a tower of bricks standing on a toothpick. And just the little thing will push it and it will crumble all right before you. My life crumbled during Christmas break of my freshman year. I was home visiting, and I was home alone with my dad, and my dad started complaining about pains in his chest. My dad had had a heart attack. I was broken. I was felt as if nothing in my life was going right. Some of it was my fault. It was my fault for not keeping up my grades or managing my finances. But I felt like everything was against me, and now I was going to lose my dad on top of all of it. I felt as though God had abandoned me. I did not know what to do. I was at a loss. Fortunately for me, the story didn't end there. My dad did recover, is okay till this day. I obviously finished college, and I had great friends in college, and I met my wife in college. God's will is not meant to end with our suffering. It's not the end of the story. And I think we see that in the book of Psalms. Even in Psalm 22, which granted, before I had to preach to it, I will admit I have never read, other than hearing it quoted by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. But Psalm 22 comes before a pretty famous psalm, Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, we are told that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Because even back then, the writers of the Psalms knew that God's story doesn't end with suffering. Now, I don't have any academic scholar to point to or back up this theory, but I truly do think that the 22nd and 23rd Psalm were placed next to each other for a reason. Psalm 22 is so important because it tells us it's okay to lament. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to cry, to be sad, to blame God, that those emotions, those actions are part of what makes us human. But the story isn't over. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy. Let's say that again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is almost a response to Psalm 22. To say here is this person who suffers and is crying out to God and doesn't know what to do and feels like the world is against me, to then say the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one sheep. You see, not only does God's story not end with our suffering, but God seeks us during our suffering. Even when we can't feel the presence of God, God is still seeking us. Psalm 22 asks God for an answer. And Psalm 23 gives it. It's actually a common practice in hymnody, in the study of hymns, for a hymn to ask a question and then for it to give an answer. And so, God is with us. God is our shepherd. I think it's interesting the words that are used to start both psalms. The first one is my God, or Elohav, which is a conjugation of Elohim, which is just kind of a general name. It just means God or God Almighty. And so it's this cry to this God that sometimes can be described as distant. But the Psalm 23 starts with the Lord, Adonai, Yehovah. The personal name of God. So you have this relationship between a calling out to a God that is thought to be distant and thought to be abandoned, to answering with the personal name of God, the personal intimate name of God, of a God who is present and here on this earth. Because the story isn't over. This isn't the end. Suffering is not the end. Last week, we've been talking about God's will and listening for healing and anointing. And the question is often asked, why do good people suffer? I don't know. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I ask the question all the time. I don't know. I don't know why good people suffer, and sometimes it feels like bad people are lifted up. But I do know, with all my heart, in all my being, that our story doesn't end with suffering. The God of the Hebrew Bible didn't let stories end with suffering. Jesus' story doesn't end with suffering. And neither will ours. hear the Psalm 23 one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of Jesus and our God, the Liberator. Amen.